There are 29 national recreation areas across America. From Delaware Water Gap National Recreation Area on the border between New Jersey and northeastern Pennsylvania, to Grand Island National Recreation Area in Michigan, and Lake Mead National Recreation Area in Nevada, encompassing Lake Mojave and Hoover Dam. One of the most distinctive is the Golden Gate National Recreation Area that includes 80,000 acres of ecologically and historically significant destinations in the San Francisco Bay Area, attracting more than 15 million visitors annually to its various sites around the bay, including Muir Woods, the Cliff House, Crissy Field, Alcatraz, and the Presidio of San Francisco. It is one of the world's largest urban parks. Some recreation areas are under the management of the Department of Agriculture, the Bureau of Land Management, or the U.S. Forest Service, while others are managed by the National Park Service, as is the case with the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer, reporting from Alcatraz Island. Come along and join me for a visit with National Park Service Superintendent of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, Chris Leonards.
I'm Chris Leonards with the National Park Service, and I'm the superintendent at Golden Gate National Recreation Area.
Aren't you lucky?
I'm very lucky.
You're blessed in my book.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us the big picture of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, what it encompasses.
You know, Golden Gate National Recreation Area overall is 80,000 acres, and 18,500 are actually owned by the United States government, owned by the National Park Service for Americans, in that we have partnerships with California State Parks, County Park. It's a big area that was created in 1972 and just gets more and more popular.
It sounds, from an administration standpoint, complex, because it is not just one national park or national historic site.
It is the beauty of it. You know, we go from lands in San Mateo County all the way through San Francisco and then up to Marin County. And there aren't very many places in the nation that are national parks that cover that much territory. You know, people go up to Muir Woods and they see amazing things there, Alcatraz Island, Sutro Baths, you know, small places that are kind of corners of San Francisco or beautiful trails in San Mateo County. You could spend a week in each of those areas.
That's so cool. Keep going. Tell me some more of your favorite, really interesting places.
It's like kids, right? You can't say that you have a favorite in a national park.
I know.
One of my favorite things is to be able to just leave my office, which is in Upper Fort Mason, and hike along a trail, hike along the beachfront, hike along Crissy Field. And sometimes I don't hear English spoken for 10 minutes. That the international visitors coming here who see this as such a special place and part of their national park experience, that just going out for a walk sometimes is the favorite thing that I do each day.
The Presidio, that is a destination in itself. And you're talking about hiking. I remember as a kid going to the Officers Club with my dad. You know, and now it's a very different world. It's not a military world.
It isn't. And you have to really go back to Juan Bautista de Anza, who came up here from Mexico and found that place near Mountain Lake now, which was where he said, this is where we're going to put a settlement, and then go from there. You know, the Presidio as a military area, as an installation that eventually became a national park and an amazing place managed by the Presidio Trust that has tenants there who have these historic homes, beautiful trails. It's really a very special area.
Talk for a moment about the old officers' residences. Now, people, San Franciscans, they rent them? Normal people? Civilians?
Normal, smart people, I think, because who has the opportunity, really, in their lifetime very often to live in a place historic like that? When I go home at night, I pass an area where the pilots used to live, who flew in and out of Crissy Field area, the airfield there. And to think that the pilots would just leave their house that morning with a cup of coffee, maybe go down, hop in an airplane, and work for this country through the military is amazing.
Tell us about Crissy Field and that whole area today, because there's been a lot of restoration work down there, hasn't there?
You know, I wish I had lived here when Crissy Field was the area that's sometimes been described as kind of a leftover, a remnant, if you will, for this area. And today we think of it as the front yard of San Francisco. There's been so much restoration where generous donations, being able to preserve the cultural landscape there, but also make a place that families can come and have a wonderful picnic of an afternoon.
For the listener, word picture where Crissy Field is.
Crissy Field sits at the base of the south end of the Golden Gate Bridge. And when you sit at the very west end, and you look up and you see this amazing bridge, if you turn 180 degrees and look back up the field, you can actually picture the airplanes that landed there. There's a wonderful collection of photos, and you can see in your mind's eye, you almost hear a plane taking off over you, and what that pilot must have felt like seeing the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, moving up that runway, just amazing.
And let's go out to Fort Point for a moment.
Fort Point. It is a very cold place. Imagine being in a fort like that, an amazing fort that was never actually ever fired upon, and today is in the best shape of any fort in that same class.
Why is that?
It's been well cared for. There were people who were stationed there, and before it even became a national park, you said this place is worth taking care of, and it became a part of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area and is a part of our heart and soul of America. Go there and see a wall that's 6 feet thick.
Fort Point predates the Civil War, as I recall.
Yeah, they didn't know there was going to be a Civil War when they built Fort Point. But a great defensive area, a great place to be able to station people to see who might be coming the direction of the west coast of the United States.
And then Cavallo Point over there, do you guys cover that territory too?
We do. Fort Baker, which is kind of at the base of the north side of the Golden Gate Bridge, is an area that was an active military area as well. You see the parade grounds out there. It's lined up like so many of those traditional forts or areas. Big parade ground, officers' houses, and now has been redeveloped in a way that people can stay there. And a lot of focus there is on nonprofit and environmental groups who can do work there and come together and collaborate. You know, one thing that I would add is the diversity of experience at Golden Gate National Recreation is amazing to me. It's recreation, it's kite orders, it's going for hikes, it's art. When you look at the Marin Headlands Center for Arts, when you look at Lower Fort Mason and the Fort Mason Center, it's just the opportunity for so many people with almost any interest to find a place to connect.
Chris, thank you so much. What an absolute pleasure and an honor. And you made my day, and with your background behind you.
Isn't it something?
Yeah, sailboats skittering across the bay.
You hear the seagulls? You hear the seagulls out there?
Yeah.
Gulls. Gulls, not seagulls. Gulls.
Western gulls.
That's right. Let's do it again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks again, Chris.
Hey, Sonny. Yeah, I hear you're getting out here, honey. What, about 2 weeks here? Good for you. Well, I'm going to be here a long time.
Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary has been closed since 1963. But the myth, legend, and lore of the infamous rock that housed prisoners such as Al Scarface Capone, the Birdman of Alcatraz, and Machine Gun Kelly has grown exponentially over the past half century. And today it is a must-do destination for tourists from around the world. So much so that the rock recently received TripAdvisor's 2015 Traveler's Choice Award as the number one U.S. landmark and number eight in the world. Attracting more than 1.4 million visitors annually, touring the Rock has become so popular that tickets must be booked months in advance throughout the summer season. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a fascinating conversation with National Park Service Public Affairs Officer Alexandra Picavet at Pier 33, Alcatraz Landing in San Francisco, California.
Alexandra, what a seminal day right here on Pier 33.
It's a beautiful day. We have this really rare opportunity here at Alcatraz to have some of the people who actually lived the history that brings so many visitors every day to this island.
What's fascinating, as I recall, Alcatraz closed in 1963. That's way over 50 years, and yet some people don't even believe that there are prisoners, ex-cons, that are still alive.
We're having fewer and fewer who are able to make any trip out here to Alcatraz anymore.
Is there any rough sense of how many ex-cons are still alive?
We thought that we knew that there were just under five of them, but just this week we had a person arrive who we've never had contact with before, who was an inmate on Alcatraz. So we're doing some research and we're going to get back to him. He wasn't able to stay for this event because he didn't know it existed, but I'm hoping he'll come back and visit us next year.
That's great.
Right now we're sold out. multiple weeks in advance.
So everybody we see here queued up to go on the boat, they got their tickets a month or two or three ago.
So Alcatraz was designed to house up to 305 prisoners a day, not 5,000 visitors a day. And so we actually aren't able to really add a lot of people to that experience. They're going to spend their entire day just looking at the backs of heads or trying to push through lines, and that's not at all the experience that caused people to vote it the number one landmark in the country.
Okay, insider's best kept secret.
Especially for locals in San Francisco, I always tell them that if they know they have family coming to visit, they should buy tickets ahead of time. Just buy them. 3 months out is the earliest that you can buy them.
And when you pre-buy, do you have to target a specific departure time and moment?
You do. But the reality is that you can always return a ticket that you're not going to use and get a full refund if you do it early enough. But you can't buy the tickets once they're sold. If you live in San Francisco and you want to come to Alcatraz, you haven't gone before, my recommendation is you come in January.
Oh,
January,
yes.
January is a much better time for us locals to get on the island.
When people think of Alcatraz, it's kind of the first super prison, you know, the super fortress. And a lot of people imagine that there were 1,000 prisoners out there, but that was never the case, was it? There were, what, 200, 250?
Right. Well, Alcatraz was an experiment. It was started in 1934, and at that time, Prohibition had caused there to be gangs. There was crime in the United States that they could not break, and they had been trying. Alcatraz was created to finally break the backbone of that kind of criminal existence in the United States. So what they had was three prisoners to every one guard, which is a ratio much different than any other prison. But they also made sure that they had the best fed prisoners so that people got as much food as they wanted, and it was really good food.
Why did they care how well they fed them?
See, what they found was if they could keep everyone on an equal plane, nobody had anything that they could trade up for. No one could say, I've got this and you need that. That actually eliminated a lot of the strife and conflict that could occur in the prison. Each prisoner had their own cell. They didn't share with anyone, which actually gave them a sense of security that you don't find when you have a shared cell. It also gave them a little bit of privacy, which was extremely unique to have in a prison. It was a very, very expensive experiment, and that and the cost of the structures themselves caused the federal penitentiary system to close it down in 1963.
One of the myth, legend, and lores of Alcatraz, and I even heard on the tours this mentioned, you hear that the prisoners could see San Francisco, could hear the sounds coming in. And yet I've talked to a couple of ex-cons who said, never saw the city, never heard the sounds.
Yeah, the only place that you could really get a view of the city was as you were entering the rec yard from the main cell. So there's a glimpse that you get right there and from the top row of the stairs there.
But in a day-in, day-out basis, all the prisoners never really saw San Francisco or heard it, the downtown.
Right. One of the things, though, is that they always knew that they were right there. The only time you can really hear the sounds of the city is when the city was having a celebration like fireworks or a big event that would have been on the water, and it was a still night. But then you could actually hear the sounds come across. I think that most of the people, though, who were incarcerated on the island, that wasn't what they wanted to focus on.
Right, for sure. Probably the last thing.
Right. Yeah.
But it must have been haunting and palpable for those who did.
I think it was sad for those who did because it reminded them of so much of what they were missing, what they had given up.
Unfortunately, our boat's about to leave.
Well, it is. We're actually going to take the 10 o'clock boat and go up and listen to Robert Luke talk in the mess hall.
Oh, yeah. One quick thing. Robert Luke said that one of the game changers in his life was on the rock and smelling fresh cut grass.
Oh.
Former Alcatraz prisoner Robert Luke.
Yeah, I was sitting out in the steps in the yard looking over the wall at the bridge. And one day.
The Golden Gate?
Yeah. And I had about 10 months left of the federal sentence. So I was sitting there looking, and all of a sudden I got a whiff of new mown grass. And it just did something to me. I asked myself, what am I doing here when I could be out there and smell the new mown grass? And then why am I here? So I went all the way back why I was there and come to the conclusion everything I'd done was by my own choice. Nobody made me do it. And as soon as I really believed that, all the hatred went out of me. I couldn't blame anybody else for anything. And I was ready to get out of prison and make a life outside.
And that was, what, 1958?
Late, 1958, right.
Alexandra, thank you so much.
Thank you. I look forward to having you meet more of the alumni.
Alcatraz Island is administered by the National Park Service's Golden Gate National Recreation Area. To learn more about the history of Alcatraz and visiting the Rock, log on to nps.gov/ALCA. The underbed music was performed by the legendary Don Young, retired owner of National Guitar Company. Yeah.